Tom, we have a very, very, very special guest. One of the most soulful, interesting, and informed Top Chef fans of all time. Probably the most informed Top Chef fan of all time. Who do we have here today with us?
Her name is Carly Levitz, and she is the proprietor of carly.sue.bear Instagram account, which has a lot of visualizations on Top Chef, but not just Top Chef, a host of different reality TV shows, including Survivor and Tournament of Champions. I'm right now perusing, Kevin, her Top Chef dashboards on Tableau, which is just fascinating. You, Carly, are kind of near and dear to my heart because I can't imagine how much data you have sifted through, crunched, and presented in your lifetime. It is probably the most of any Top Chef fan on planet Earth. And I just want to say from all of the Top Chef fans out there, thank you. Your intrepid reporting and data analysis deserves a Bravo Award up in the museum of all of culinary works. So thank you.
Yeah, for sure. It's funny because during the pandemic, I discovered Survivor and was like so interested in like some of the data components of it. And I told myself I would never create data sets of it because there's so much. And then I found someone who had created it. And then I started working with him on that. And then I started seeing all of reality TV through the lens of discrete data fields. And then I started Top Chef and started at the beginning. And actually I started at season 16 and then 17 and then the beginning. It's been fun.
You didn't start from Top Chef from like season 6, Las Vegas. You started during the pandemic or after the pandemic.
Yeah. I watched during the pandemic the seasons that were just before the pandemic.
Okay. And what jumped out to you about Top Chef? Like you were a big fan of Survivor and then you moved over to Top Chef. What captured your imagination with Top Chef? What did you like about it?
I mean, so I like, you know, some of the elements of gameplay, you know, when they get to choose their produce or their protein and their teams, but it's also as I've gotten older, I've gotten more into cooking myself. And I grew up in the Midwest. My parents are great cooks. And I don't think that we were exposed to that much in terms of variety of food. And I was just floored by it all. And I'd heard a lot about it. My older sister has watched a bunch of stuff on Bravo, you know, since we were in high school, but I never really got into it. And I gave it a try. And then I was like, oh, this is super fun. Just seeing different foods and hearing about different cities and cultures. I really appreciate so much about Top Chef.
How do you feel like it ranks? And Survivor being the OG, I mean, I remember when Survivor came out in the late 90s and I was like in my early 20s and it was just like, I mean, it was appointment viewing. We'd never seen anything like it. I mean, just the idea of just like the rando, the normie competing against one another strategically and sort of this mind game was a real novelty. How do you think Top Chef fares in sort of the kind of the strategic hierarchy of competition reality shows?
I mean, I think it's its own world, right? Because I think that things like Survivor, Big Brother, The Traitors, the only way you get through is through your strategy, right? Whereas Top Chef, it really is about skill and adaptability, right? Those other shows have adaptability, but Top Chef...
The scheming is the skill in some ways, right?
The scheming is the skill, right?
Right.
And here, there's not as much scheming. You have to be really good, right, to win in order to then get the advantage of choosing your team or choosing your protein, you know, that sort of thing. It really is about the cooking first. You know, there's still that creative element in Survivor, right? But it's more about the people around you, whereas, you know, it's a visual and physical art in Top Chef.
So Carly, you're in like 4 years of Top Chef, I guess, somewhere around there. But you've studied so many different seasons. So are you like, do you have a list of seasons that you just can't wait to watch because you've heard so much about Richard Blaze or you've heard so much about Melissa King? So is there like a Top Chef season that you can't wait to watch because of all your research?
Well, I have watched them all. So I am thorough. And so in addition to getting data off of Wikipedia and that sort of thing, I collect the data as I am watching. So like last night's episode, right, I have my spreadsheets open and I am documenting what is the product placement, which cheesemonger, whatever. I am documenting who is winning, what is the prize, right? I'm doing this as I am watching. And so, yeah, I've actually seen it all.
Your database, how many columns do you have in your database?
It is, I mean, it's like 6 different data sets and, you know, a lot of, how many data sets? Yeah, it's a lot. and all the time, I feel like it could be more, right? Because the idea is that I want to enable anyone to do this data analysis themselves. So I have an R package. It's just Top Chef. It's an R package and it's just a data package. So anyone can use the data, analyze the data themselves. And there are things that I wish I had gotten, like documenting what it is that everyone had made each time they cooked. Because I want to know, like, you know, top scallop, like how many people did make scallops and, you know, things like that. Yeah. So there's always room for improvement.
A shout out to our subscribers. I think a very early installment of my, I'm going to be experimenting with video for Pack Your Knives. And we are going to have a feature on my video series called Top Scallop. And I have already one in the can. Our fierce editor is working on it. But you will be seeing Top Scallop before long, a Pack Your Knives edition. Carly, I love, first of all, I could spend all day and probably will spend all day on your tableau. And it actually, a great example of sort of what you do is the Restaurant Wars tab. And I was, before we started recording, I was sort of going off on myself because, you know, one of the great things about data, and Tom is in the middle of these debates in the basketball world, and there are people who hate these debates and love these debates or think data is spoiling the game. Like I've always said, hey, it just makes me smarter. It's a piece of information that just exists. It's not about you. It's like hating the rain or hating, it's just, it exists. You have to, these are facts on the ground and you can deal with them. You can resent them. You can appreciate them, but they just exist. And on this one, one that I've always subscribed to is I just always assumed, in fact, I feel like I've said it probably on this podcast a million times, like, oh, you know, it's really executive chef or front of the house that goes home. They're the ones who end up bearing the responsibility for the failure of a team. And I just tell myself this. I walk through life thinking that really, if you just take one of those line cook positions, you're fine. And lo and behold, because you have actually run the numbers, you have done the data, what I've learned here is actually the eliminated chef most often on Restaurant Wars is the executive chef with 7 eliminations, but line cooks have gone home 6 times. So mind blown. I just always assumed you had to go home for either screwing up the service at the front or screwing up the larger macro idea in the back. But that if you're just there on the line, you're fine. No, you're not fine. And so thank you. You have cured me of ignorance. I can now watch Restaurant Wars in another 5 weeks when it comes down as a more informed viewer. But like that's how many, what are your mind blown moments when you kind of started running the numbers? What are the favorite pieces of information that have surfaced in your data analysis?
Yeah. I mean, so when Tom and I were talking on Twitter, something that I was surprised by, I think, you know, just sort of recency bias, but when I was looking at chefs across all seasons, who was the best by looking at all different sorts of measures, right? Number of elimination challenges won, number of total challenges won, you know, percent of the challenges won. I had forgotten how dominant Richard Blaze was in the first All-Stars.
Season 8.
And it just like brought back a new appreciation for him. And I've been watching Next Level Chef, and that's been super fun, but it's not him cooking. And so I've had that, you know, him as the mentor role, as someone giving advice. And I'd forgotten a little bit about his cooking and just how, yeah, just like clean, but brilliant. You know, it's not necessarily totally out there, right? It's not Voltaggio, mm-hmm. it's not May, but like it is so beautiful and solid. That was a more recent like aha moment that I had forgotten about how amazing Richard was.
So Kevin, she did a weighted score. She has a scoring system which is similar to the one that we have. And Carla, do you want to run through your scoring system for the audience?
Yeah, for sure. So the idea is that elimination challenges are worth more than quick fire challenges. I consider sudden death quick fire or quick fire elimination as just elimination challenges because there's a lot more at stake. So it is an elimination win, you get 7 points. A quick fire win is 4 points. If you're at the top of elimination, it's 3. If you're at the top of quick fire, it's 2. And then we've got the sort of inverse of that for the lows. So a quick fire low is -2 points. An elimination low is -3 points. And elimination, like getting eliminated, is -7 points. And so what I'm able to do is, you know, I can do that for a given season. Just earlier today, I posted that for season 21 through last night's episode, episode 3. But then I can also sort of play around with it so that I can compare across seasons when they have 3 elimination challenges and 3 quick fire challenges, right? Because in this season, for example, we've had 3 elimination challenges and 2 quick fires in 3 episodes. But if I want to compare these chefs at 3 elimination and 3 quick fire, I'm going to need some data from episode 4. So I sort of pull that in. And so if I wanted to, I could compare people at the same number of challenges because the opportunity to win and lose points depends on how many challenges you're in.
Right. I'm just shaking with joy from listening to you talk about this. So in the NBA, we can say like, oh, through the All-Star break, Michael Jordan averaged 37 points and LeBron James averaged 35 points. And then after the All-Star break, their scoring averages dropped. So you not only have like full season data, but you can actually say like through 3 weeks, here's what the scoreboard looks like all time. Mm-hmm. And even keeping the elimination challenges and the quick fires constant, you can do that too. Not just thanks for listening. If you're enjoying this episode of Pack Your Knives and would like to listen to the rest of it, please become a paid subscriber.
Just go to packyourknives.com and sign up for an annual subscription. That's packyourknives.com.